In 2 Samuel 22 and verse 47, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation." What does it mean to exalt Christ? Some people don't know. Some people don't care. Some people couldn't begin to explain. Friend, we are to exalt Christ in our lives, and it's so important that we understand that, and that's what I want us to consider for a few minutes this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to express my appreciation for everybody that's able to be out this morning. We have visitors. We're so glad that you came to be with us. If this is the first time you've been in an assembly like this, you might have some questions about things we do and we don't do. We just follow God's word. Jesus told us in John 12:48, it's going to be his word that judges us in the last day. So things are very simple. And it's interesting, I always find it interesting that what God told us to do, anybody in any location, in any time in history, is able to carry it out. The things that you see today, inventions of man, are not the word of God. But we want to turn our attention to God's word this morning, and we want to talk about the exaltation of Christ. Also, at a certain point, I've asked David to lead us in a couple songs as part of this lesson so that it will help us seeing what we are looking at. So this word exalt, it's a verb, it's an action word. It means to lift up, to raise. There are examples of this word used in the Bible with different things. One of the terms it's used with literally is a sail on a ship. Acts 27 and 4, "And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, loosened the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore." This word hoisted up, that's the same Greek word as exalt. We read about lifting up hands, Luke 24:50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." 1 Timothy 2:8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." We also read about lifting up our heads, Luke 21:28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We read about lifting up our eyes, Matthew 17:18. "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." So this is a very common word that we come across in the Bible, to exalt or lift up. We see it applied to the sail on a ship, our hands, heads, eyes. These are just a few examples. And then we get into some deeper meanings of that. And you think about the account of Joseph. Joseph, when he was hated by his brothers, he was sold, and well, first he was thrown into a pit. They were going to kill him. He was thrown into a pit, sold to a caravan, taken to Egypt as a slave, thrown in prison for false accusations. And we often talked about Joseph being exalted from the pit to the pinnacle in the land of Egypt. He was lifted up. God lifted him up. We have another example in the Old Testament. If you'll turn to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 21, and we read about the serpent of brass. In Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4, "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.' So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. We have this account in the Old Testament. We come to the New Testament, and Jesus refers to this in the Gospel of John, in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the Israelites, they complained so many times before they made it to the Promised Land. Many of those died, all of them except two people. But when they were complaining, disobeying God, God sent these fiery serpents or poisonous serpents among them. They would bite the Israelite because of their sin. And the remedy, God provided a remedy also, where he took Moses made a brass serpent and put it on a pole and lifted it up. And when the Israelites would look on this, they would be healed. They would be saved. If they didn't look at this, and Jesus is saying, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man is going to be raised up. He's going to be exalted. And we have the choice. We can either look at him, come to him and be saved, or if we do not, we will die in our sins. It's interesting too, this account in the Old Testament, a lot of people aren't familiar with this, but you see this symbol in the medical profession today. This rod with this snake coiled around it. It comes from Numbers 21. And in John 8:28, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Christ being lifted up on the cross was foreshadowed back in the book of Numbers. In John 12:32 and 34, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So they didn't understand what he was saying, but he signified the type of death that he would die. He would die on a cross as it was prophesied. So exaltation, being lifted up. Exaltation shows a position. There's something high, there's something low. Just like with Joseph, when he was in the pit, and then he was exalted to the second in command in Egypt. Moses and this brass serpent, he would exalt it. He would lift it up. And it was a means of salvation for the people to do as God told them to do. And when they looked on it, they would be saved. Could they just believe that they would be saved and they would be healed from this poisonous snake bite? Couldn't do that. They had to obey God. We see with exaltation, something is brought down, something is lifted up. And friends, we must lift up the right things in our life. We must bring down the wrong things, and we must lift up the right things. We must exalt Christ. We must lift him up far above everything else that is in this world. And to exalt Jesus, we not only walk where Jesus walked, but we walk as Jesus walked. A lot of people say they're a Christian, and when you read what Christ was like and you compare that to people, then we have a standard to compare themselves to. Do all of us match up to the standard of Christ? We don't. but we've got to keep trying. It's something to keep growing toward, because we sin, but when we sin, we've got to repent. But we lift Christ up, and we have to be as Christ was. We have to become Christ-like. And so it's not all of these verses that we are trying to learn. It's not just so that we can learn them and memorize them and repeat them. It's so we can, memorizing is the start, but then we need to live them. That's how we exalt Christ. We let Christ live in our bodies. And it's not going to be some miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit coming into us. It's going to be taking His Word that the Holy Spirit has revealed, put it in our heart, and then taking what's in our heart and putting it into actions. That's how we exalt Christ. And you see people, they say they'll do one thing on Sunday and something totally contrary on Monday or Tuesday or the rest of the week. Friends, that's not lifting Christ up. We need to lift Him up. And there's a lot of things where we have choices of what we're going to do this week. And a lot of things can be good and wholesome, but still, Christ, God, has to be the center of our life. He has to be above everything else. If He isn't, then we aren't putting God first. Matthew 6:33, Jesus told us to seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things would be added unto us. If we are seeking those other things first, we're going to have it backwards. James tells us in James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We don't lift ourselves up. We are to humble ourselves. And why do we humble ourselves? Because we recognize who God is. We recognize that we are nothing without God, and that we depend on Him for everything. And this is a problem in our society. It's been since the beginning of time, where people like to boast about themselves. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And how many of us have seen somebody lift themselves up, and then what happens to them? They're brought down. You can see that on TV. Different people, actors, politicians, they lift themselves up and they are brought down. But we are talking about the exaltation of Christ. Christ is never going to be brought down. He was victorious over death. He was raised from the tomb, never to die again. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. So 2 points right there. When somebody talks about the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2:33, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it is something you can see and you can hear. And that's different than what men say today. Verse 34, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You go on over in Acts, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. You see, they brought Him down. They humbled Christ. They had a mock trial. They beat Him. They spat upon Him. They nailed Him to a cross. They humbled Him. But in verse 31, him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. Friends, if God has done this for Christ, if God has lifted him up, set him at the right hand in heaven, friends, can we do anything less? We must exalt Christ higher than anything else. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There's a lot of famous names out there, friends. None of them are as famous as Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In verse 10, at that name of Jesus, that name also is his authority. At that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Friends, you know, right now there's around 7 billion people on this planet. I don't know how many people, if you add them all up, coming up to 2021, what the total would be. Don't know how many years God will let this earth stand. But you stop and you think about the judgment. We are all going to be at the judgment. It's going to be a universal judgment. People from the Old Testament, all the characters from history. Napoleon's going to be there. Hitler's going to be there. Anybody that you can imagine is going to be there. Billions and billions of people. And what's going to be common to all of us? That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Is there anyone out of those billions and billions of people that's not going to bow before Christ and confess his name? Not a one. Not a one. And friends, we better do it now so that Christ will recognize us. Because if we don't do it now, we'll be forced to do it, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Friend, Christ is exalted above everything else. And because he is exalted, we should be filled with praise. We should exalt his name and not just wait till the judgment time. We should be doing that every day. I've asked David to lead us in two songs, number 60 and number 63. We'll sing one and then the other one. David, would you go ahead and do that, please?
Number 60. Sing it through twice. We'll sing both songs through twice. Number 60, he is exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Number 63. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the
Thank you, David. When we sing those songs, that's got to move your soul. When we think about God, Christ, being the rock of our salvation, and how great and mighty and awesome He is. He's the only one that is worthy to be praised. He's the only one that can save us from our enemies. He liveth, and blessed be my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Friends, people are looking for somebody to come and save them today. You look at the political things that are going on, and they are all looking for somebody to come and save them. Friends, nobody's going to come and save them. Who knows what's going to happen? But we know if we want to be saved, Christ will save our souls. We will live eternally. He is our only hope. And again, this is a major theme of the whole Bible and of the Christian's life. You go back to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. You see, the kingdoms of this earth come and go. You can look back in the Old Testament and read of some mighty powerful kingdoms. And where are they today? They're gone. They're gone. The only kingdom that is going to stand forever is the kingdom of Christ. That's the one that we need to be seeking. And Christ received dominion after he ascended to the Father in the clouds. 1 Peter 3:22. Who is on the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And again, Christ was humbled and then he was exalted. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and on the earth and things under the earth. So back to Acts 5, when he raised him from the dead, he was made something, not just King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he was also made head of the church, which is the kingdom. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Him God exalt with his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. Acts 5:30 and 31. So what's he a king of? Is his kingdom. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's the church. We are his subjects. This is his law. This is his law. This is who we serve. And his name is to be worshipped. And because of that, we are to lift him. What do we have? Some people, you look and you can tell what they lift up in their lives. It may be their hobbies. It may be their career. It may be their possessions. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But we must exalt Christ above everything else. Did we exalt Christ last week? I have to ask myself that. Am I going to do that today? Am I going to do that in this week that is coming? Friends, we need to put this in our mind. To close with a few passages from the book of Psalms. Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 99:5, "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. He is holy." Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy." Psalm 107:32, "Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders." And Isaiah 25:1, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." And friend, when we recognize the power of God, when we recognize how mighty and awesome that he is, when we recognize Christ, that he was exalted into the heavens, what can we do? What should we do? Friends, we should bow down in submission to him when we recognize how great, and again, exaltation is a position. We recognize how great he is, and we recognize how lowly we are. And we need to lift him up. We must lift God higher than everything else that we love or desire. We must exalt him, acknowledge him, his authority. And again, that's why we do not have many of the things that you'll see in other churches, because we exalt his authority. We exalt his name above that of men. And then we allow the brightness of his holiness to be in us. We want to immerse ourselves in his word so that we can be like him, that we can be with him, and that we do not want to be with him just for a few minutes on Sunday morning. We want to be with him for time without end in heaven. Heaven that he's prepared for us. And you know, friends, God is going to reward every one of us that's here this morning. He's going to reward us. What's he going to reward us with? That's our choice. He is not going to give us something that we did not choose. If we choose to follow him, he is going to reward us with eternal life. If we choose to not follow him and disobey him, he is going to reward us with eternal separation. Friends, if you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation, don't put it off. Do what is right. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and exalt him in your life. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.